Good morning, Midland First. And good morning to all who are watching on TV or will be, and who are listening on the radio this morning. We are glad that you can join us from wherever you are. I am Reverend Bethany Macieski, and it is a gift to be with you today. I have a few announcements for you this morning. One, our family day of prayer is on August 8th from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 p.m. here in the sanctuary. We would love to have you join us for that. There will be different stations, if I'm correct on that. There will be different stations where you can pray in different ways. And so please be sure to mark your calendars. Likewise, our last Next Generation concert for the summer is on August 11th at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. Gabrielle, is there anything you'd like to say about that? All right. I believe that is all the announcements we have for you this morning. If you would like to turn and greet one another.
Please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. The Lord is faithful through all generations. He always keeps his promises. Our Heavenly Father is perfect, and he will guide us down the paths of righteousness, even when we do not see or understand the way forward.
Our opening song today is not a traditional hymn, and for those of you who love those, I will apologize right up front. We are doing a blended service during the summer, and so it's really important that we also include contemporary music as we have been doing. But today our theme is the Father's house, and so our opening song really fits that theme, that as we go through that threshold of the doors in the back, or whatever doors you enter into this worship space, that this is the Father's house, and this is where you can encounter God in ways that you can't in other places. And so being able to leave your baggage at the door, being able to leave all of the stuff that you drag around with you so that you can be lifted up is really important. So for those of you who listen to Christian radio, this song will be familiar. For those of you who have attended the 11 o'clock service, this song will be familiar to you. If you do not know the words, I ask that you meditate on the words and then just enjoy the vibe of the music as we celebrate God together. Ready? Three, four.
The story is
our modern affirmation. The words will be on the screen, or you can choose to use the hymnal number 885.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. You may be seated.
Many words used to describe Olympic athletes are also part of the vocabulary to describe the Christian walk: endurance, perseverance, commitment. We are beginning a three-week study that connects our faith race to the Olympics. Today we are exploring the discipline and obedience of Daniel as he obeyed God's commands for healthy eating, even though that was not the king's plan. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for Daniel's story, and thank you for giving us fun times like the Olympics. Let us always remember that the Olympics are a few days and not even every year. Our race to be yours is every day of every year. Thank you for being with us every day of every year, and keeping us strong to be able to do what you want us to do. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, loving Father, steadfast friend, you made us, you care for us, you know us, and you love us. You are here with us, above us, behind us, in front of us, and within us in the form of the Holy Spirit. We know you are good. Your powers are infinite. You alone created the heavens and the earth. Your power has no limits. We know this, and yet we forget. We need help, yet we fail to rely on you or to come to you first. We need help as individuals, trying to figure out our purpose and to make, keep, and grow relationships. We need help to make choices for good, endure health struggles, and to take responsibility and care for our families and friends. We need help as a church community to grow and lovingly serve you. We need help to share your word and care for our neighbors who aren't as fortunate as we are. We need help as a city of diverse people with diverse needs. We need help as a nation that seems more divided than united. We need help as a world community of countless cultures to work together and communicate openly as we become dependent on technology on a global basis. Our Earth is fragile. We need help to protect it. It can seem so overwhelming. But Lord, you are here. Please help us and help our neighbors, our church and our city, our nation and our world. Move us, nudge us, show us, support us, and inspire us to speak with your wisdom and to be your hands and feet to enact change in our world today. Forgive us. Forgive us when we take you for granted, when we don't turn to you first, when we don't pay attention, when we fail to praise you, and when we don't share your love. Forgive us when we speak without thinking, when we try to do it all under our own power, when we turn away from you, and when we do not do your will. Your word assures us that you are always ready to open your arms to love us and forgive us. We just need to turn to you. And that is amazing and wonderful, loving God. We praise you, we thank you, and we honor you. Amen. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And now we have a time of invitation to offering. Will our ushers please come forward?
So I'm going to do a song that Ronnie Millsap also did, What a Difference You Made in My Life. I loved this song when I was a kid, but I never paid too much to the lyrics. And as I was searching for music to do for the church, I came across this song. And then I realized what a difference the Lord has made in my life. And so as I'm singing this song, reflect on the words and ask yourself, what has the Lord done and made a difference in your life? And how grateful we are for that.
Thank you.
God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for all the gifts you've given us in every shape and form. Lord, all that we have to give is all that we have already been given, and we thank you for that. Please use these gifts to your honor and glory and to build up the kingdom of God. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Indeed, what a gift it is to read these ancient words and to take them in. Will you pray with me this morning before we go to that? Lord, may the words of my lips and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. It is a gift to read your word and to consume it. Lord, your word is not sent out and returned void. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in these words as I speak today. And may you open our hearts as we read from 2 Samuel chapter 7. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled, you will lie down with your ancestors. I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will punish him with a rod such as mortals use, with blows inflicted by human beings." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the prayer of pardon and confession that we say every time we come to receive the elements of the Eucharist. We say it to prepare our hearts, to acknowledge that what we receive is sacred, a holy mystery in which the eternal God gives himself to us. This prayer is where the title of my sermon comes this morning. I chose the title, the freedom of joyful obedience, because it's true. And because I think today's scripture passage offers us an invitation to lay down our hearts before God in a deeper way. In today's passage, we see King David in his palace with rest from strife on all sides. And one day he says to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among the people of all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word about any of the tribal leaders of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar?" That is verses 2 through 7 from our scripture passage today. The impetus for God's dialogue in today's passage is not disobedience, rather, presumption. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jeremy preached on Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 9. The last two verses from that passage remind us that our thoughts are not God's thoughts, and our ways are not God's ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We cannot fully understand God because God is wholly other. W-H-O-L-L-Y. And wholly other. H-O-L-Y. However, what we know about God from this passage is that God reverses the blessing and instead blesses David more than David could have ever asked or imagined. Next week, we're going to talk more thoroughly about what Paul says in Ephesians regarding how and why God acts in this way, doing more than we could ask or imagine. Right now, we're seeing it from King David's perspective, as God tells David that rather than David building a house for God, God is going to build a house for David. Verses 12 and 13 say, "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." I want to pause for just a minute to highlight the significance of this whole chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 29. There's a limited amount of time here and now to unpack all that's in this chapter. I can't do it in 15 to 20 minutes. And you might not want to sit and listen to me for 45 minutes straight, even if we had time for that. As a finite human being who wishes to be an instrument for God to proclaim the good news of his kingdom, I know I'm not perfect. But what I want to highlight for you is that this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 7, is one of the most important, if not the most important chapter in the Bible. Here, God not only promises to build a house for David and extend his family line, but the promise that God makes to David transcends human generations and holds eternal significance. This pivotal text introduces the promise of a king who is greater than David, whose throne will be established forever. This passage echoes the refrain of a coming Messiah, who is a prophet, priest, and king. The Son of God in human flesh, Jesus. After God gave his promise to David, David responded like this in verses 18 to 20. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this is a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God, and you have spoken also of your servant's house in the distant future. May this be instruction for the people, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God." When is the last time that you stood before God in awe? And how did you respond to God's love in that moment? I want to tell you a story about a time when God left me in awe. But I want to preface what I'm about to say by reminding you that this is God's glory, not mine. On July 14th, 2022, I went to the Abbey of Gethsemane for the first time. The Abbey of Gethsemane is a monastery of Trappist monks in Kentucky, just outside of Louisville. They have several hiking trails there, including one that leads to a series of statues of Jesus and his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane in Israel. I took a hike there with my classmates of a summer class on living a life of prayer. The class itself was called Life of Prayer. The professor we had is what they call a lay Cistercian. That's the religious order of the monks, Cistercians. And he took us to the Abbey as the climax of our week spent learning, contemplating, and praying. The hike we took was about a quarter mile one way through some tricky terrain. I took a different route than most of my classmates because the route that they took had stairs. It took me a while to get there, but I did it. And when I got to the statues, the classmates who had took the pathway with the stairs were waiting for me. What I saw when I got to where my classmates were with the two statues, one was the disciples sleeping closely to one another, and nearby was a tree with vines hanging down. The second statue was Jesus, who was looking in the direction of the disciples. I'm sorry, facing the direction of the disciples. Because the statue was of Jesus on his knees, sobbing with his face into his hands as he was praying to the Lord about what was to come. In this picture, you'll see, was taken from behind the statue of Jesus. And he's looking at the disciples who are off a ways. When I looked from one to the other and I took in Jesus' heartbreak, I couldn't help but fall to my knees and pray. God took on flesh and wept at what was about to take place outside of the garden, and for everything that led to that moment, the brokenness of the world torn apart, away from God because of sin, insisting on its own way. After God gave his promise to David, he sat before the Lord in humility, recognizing first and foremost that he is God's servant and that God will always be God. God knows who David is. He knows his needs and he knows his desires. And when David came before the Lord and wanted to do something for him, he did not insist on his own way. He allowed God to bless his obedience, not because of who David is, but because of who God is. And God kept his promise. We are living proof here today that God is faithful. He is faithful in our lives just the same as he was faithful in David's life. The only difference is that we know the end of the story, and David didn't. David didn't know that God would take on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. He didn't know about the cross. As we look at this passage today and how it applies to who we are as Christians, as individuals, and as a community together, it is important that we ask ourselves, are we allowing God to speak into our lives and tell us what he wants us to do? Or are we doing what seems to be right in our own eyes? We may think we know the right thing to do, but are we being joyfully obedient to what we have been set free to do? We have been set free for joyful obedience, to follow God wherever he may lead. And that in itself brings us joy. When I went to the Abbey and I took that hike, my friends and my professor urged me to take some shortcuts and to cut myself some slack. With consideration that we were also on a time crunch, I insisted that I would walk all the way. So we compromised. And on the way back, I took those shortcuts and the extra hand that was offered. They were in awe of me that day because they knew how much it took for me to get to those statues. But at the center of it all was Jesus. That's why I did it. That's why we all did it. And when I stood in awe of God at my destination, it changed me. It humbled me to look at those statues and to think about what it must have been like for Jesus to know that his disciples were sleeping while he prayed with tears and drops of blood. I can only imagine what the disciples must have felt afterwards, after Jesus left the garden with the guards. It reminded me that he is God and I am not. God wants to bless us more than we could ever bless him. It's not possible for us to bless God as much as he blesses us. It's not a bad thing that David wanted to build a house for God. He took into consideration himself versus where the Ark of the Covenant was being kept. But God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. When we look at this passage and the dialogue about the house that David wants to build for God and the house that God wants to build for David, and the way that David responds to God's blessing, we have an invitation. We have an invitation to be in awe of God and to walk in the freedom of laying down our own will and walking in the joyful obedience that is freedom in Christ. And this freedom that we have was bought with a price, the price of the blood of Jesus, who is both God and man at the same time. This leads to more awe because the God that we serve is the giver of every good thing, and we could never give to him more than he has already given to us. Our freedom is that of joyful obedience because God's yoke is easy and his burden is light. That is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. God always wants the very, very best for us. Even when we look at the plans that we have and we think, these plans are what God has for us. They're good. And, you know, even Nathan said, go and do what you have plans to do. The Lord is with you. But even so, our ways are not God's ways, and our thoughts are not God's thoughts. I wonder how God is calling us to lay down our yokes and to put on his. How is he calling us to walk more closely with him? How does the blessing of God inspire awe in us? And how do we walk joyfully before him as a result? I invite you to ponder these questions today and to respond as God speaks to you in whatever way that may be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Beloved of God, God always keeps his promises, and his plans are always better than the ones we make for ourselves. Go in peace and in the freedom of joyful obedience, knowing that even if the pathway that God is leading you down doesn't look the way that you hoped, or maybe it does, know that God is with you and walking beside you to encourage you and bless you along the way. And he invites you to bless others as you meet them on the way. Beloved of God, you are dearly loved. Go in that love and in peace today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.